shall begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds so that you might draw us together to make us one, so that we may witness that oneness to others. In your name we pray. Amen. Growing up in Long Island, I had two uncles and an aunt. And for the first several years, we did the family stuff, as much as Germans do family stuff. But somewhere when I was about 10 years old, I stopped seeing my uncles and their family. And apparently my father had some problem with the two of them. I don't know what it is. I've heard it was kind of minor things. But in any case, they got into something and they had no contact with each other for years and years. Until 1979, when my mother passed away very, very suddenly. And they had that realization, you know, that realization in which life is short, and whatever it was that may have divided them in the past, it's minor. And so they decided to reconnect with one another. That happens often in our world. It happens perhaps in the life of your own family. At a time of death, we begin to see things a little bit differently. We see that those things that may have divided us or separated us in the past is really, compared to death, very, very trivial. And family ties are more important. If you had 1 or, say, 2 weeks to live, how would you spend your time? Well, maybe for each of us there would be something that we would do, maybe a fishing trip or something that would be important to each of us individually. But I would guarantee that the one thing all of us would do is make sure that we are connected and reconnected with the people who are special to us. We would want those people around us to know how much we love them and how important they are. And we may reach out, again, as I said, to those family members in which we've had some sort of a falling out, some sort of a disagreement. You might even go so far as connecting with former friends or colleagues. You would look for that long-lost friend. You would look for that person who perhaps had the greatest impact in your life because you wanted them to know that. But most of all, you would draw those people closest to you and let them know for sure just how much you love them. Well, in our gospel text for this morning, these are the last words of Jesus before he is arrested and before he heads off to the cross. In fact, the entire chapter 17 of John's gospel is known as Jesus' high priestly prayer, or his prayer for his disciples. Again, Jesus knows in a very short time he's going to be handed over to go to the cross. And he knows that this group of people who have followed him, well, they're going to have the rugs pulled out from underneath him when he is crucified. Their world is going to be turned upside down. And Jesus knew that they needed some prayer, a blessing, a comfort, a prayer for peace and direction in the midst of it all. Jesus here prays for their future, for their safety and protection. But most important, he prays that that mission that they will soon be sent out to do can be accomplished through this oneness. However, there is a verse in this reading that, well, when I read it, it really, really jumped out and it shocked me. And it's verse 21. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these are his disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word." You know, he's praying for you and me, because we are the ones who believe through the disciples' word and on generations. So Jesus here is praying for us, those who believe in me through the word, that all may be one, that we may all be one. Father, as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us. And this is the verse, the part of the verse that really, really jumped out at me. "So that the world may believe that you have sent me." Wow. Think about that. Think about the pressure of this new church that's about to start. Think about the pressure that's on you and me, that the oneness that we show together as a congregation, the oneness that we have as a people of God, is a witness, is a testimony to the world about the love of God. The oneness that we have as a Christian community here in Circleville and Pickaway County and larger, the oneness that we can share, the unity that we have with one another in Christ, is a witness, a powerful message to those who do not believe. Well, how well are we doing that oneness here at Trinity? How well are you and I showing the love of God through the way in which we work together? How well are we as a larger Christian community, how well do we have that unity that again witnesses to that gospel? The oneness that Jesus prays for, a unity of working together. Well, this concept of unity and oneness, well, it works really, really well as a concept until we begin to work side by side. See, it's when we get close to one another, when we actually try to work on a common goal, as we try to sit down and decide what it is and where it is we're going, it's there that often we find divisions. In 1907, the week of prayer for Christian unity was begun. It started by a group of Anglican friars, and they intended to have a week of prayer in which the Christian community can be drawn together. They prayed that the boundaries that separate us as Christian communities would be able to be removed, and we could be together, we could worship together and serve together. And it really came out of a very, very practical thought, a thought that churches duplicate the same thing. You know, missionaries are sent out. We duplicate the work of mission. And that didn't seem so practical. If we could work together, we'd have a more powerful impact. But that prayer for Christian unity became misunderstood. It became bogged down by a bunch of questions. Well, if there is unity, who would write our prayers? What kind of worship style would we have? What would be our organization principles? Who would decide what songs we should sing? Who's going to be in charge of this greater church? Where will our offerings be sent? By what name will we go under? See, it was assumed when we pray for Christian unity that it meant developing one super Christian church. Well, God has answered that prayer. The prayer of Christ, the prayer that we do for Christian union, He has answered that prayer, but in the great irony and wonder of God, He did it without us human beings getting in the way and focusing on stressing over all those little things. See, real Christian unity, real oneness, isn't a matter of the same practice, the same administration structure, the same style of worship. Christian unity doesn't mean that we all have to sing four-part harmony and have love of classical music. It doesn't mean that baptism should be either dunking three times forward, once backward, poured, sprinkled, or even just hose them all down. Christian unity wasn't about grape juice or wine or wafers. It wasn't about protecting the order of worship that's so important to each individual group. St. Paul tells us what is that mystery, that answer to that unity. And he talks about that in the book of Galatians chapter 3. And here's what he says. There is neither Jew or Greek. There is neither slave or free. There is neither male or female. And for all who are one in Christ. For all who are one in Christ. The unity in which Christ talks about is the group of Christian people who confess Christ as their Lord, who confess Jesus as the Son of God, who died for our sins and who was raised again for eternal life. That's true from the largest churches to even the smallest independent fellowships. It's true in the great cathedrals to the humble houses of worship. We are at heart in this prayer one. There's a story told about a man who dies, and he goes up to heaven, and he has a tour of heaven by the angel Gabriel. And everywhere he goes in heaven, he hears the songs of praise and harmony from all the different groups that are there. And what he heard was a harmony that he didn't notice on earth. What he heard was the four-part songs and cathedral organs. He heard the guitars and the drums. He heard the old rustic hymns and the African chants, the Latin rhythms, the bells and the carols, the white keys, the black keys, the tapping of feet, the beating of heart. And what he heard was all of those different things blending together in a harmony of praise that he could never hear or understand on earth. How it all worked together. See, the mystery of Christian unity that Christ prays for, unity within the church great to our congregation here, is being one in Christ in our confession. That every portion of our church confesses that, calling us to pray and work together so that we might be a witness to Christ, praying that we are one, even in our differences, in Christ's name. Amen.